Welcome into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. As you could probably tell, I have a little pep in my step, a little extra excitement in the voice, because this is the first show this season, this upcoming 2025 season, that we are doing picks and previews, because we have week zero games to talk about coming up in about 96 hours or so. Very excited about that. Jam-packed show today. Lots of fall intel to get to. Starting quarterback battles being won left and right. Got to get into those. I want to preview the week zero games. I'm going to talk in great length about the primetime matchup, even though it is being kicked off at 11 a.m. overseas across the pond in Dublin, Ireland. I'm going to talk about Kansas State and Iowa State, a.k.a. Farmageddon, in great length, because that is the game that we are all looking forward to the most. Also, the preseason All-American teams have been announced over on ESPN. I'm going to talk about that. And also, I have one encapsulating thought about week zero that I have to address. I'm going to save that for the end of the show. But make sure that you are subscribed to the Game Nashville Sports Network. You'll never miss an episode of the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. And also, please follow me on the socials, because I promise you, I can fully 100% guarantee that I will be dropping a ton of content as the season rolls along. Some are saying that we're already in mid-season form, and I can't say that I disagree. Let's go ahead and dive into the episode. So lots of fall intel to get to. I mentioned the quarterback battles that are being won nationwide. Let's start with a big one. Julian Sain has been announced as the starting quarterback at Ohio State. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that I believe that he was going to win the job. Now, he was battling against Lincoln Kindholz. In my opinion, Kindholz is the better athlete. However, I believe Sain is the best thrower of the football, and really, obviously, the better overall prospect. Sain is a former five-star recruit, former Elite 11 MVP. And if you remember, he transferred from Alabama. He originally committed to Alabama, made it on campus, was going to enroll a semester early, or graduated high school a semester early, enrolled in the spring. The news came down that Nick Saban was going to retire from coaching college football. Sain entered the portal not too long after and found a new home in Columbus, Ohio. He sat the bench last year as he learned behind a national championship-winning quarterback in Will Howard. And now it is Julian Sain's time in Columbus, Ohio, and I am very excited. We are going to see Sain go up against Arch Manning, both being full-time starters for the first time in their collegiate career. Should be exciting to watch. Moving on, the team that Ohio State played in the 2024 national championship game, CJ Carr, has won the starting job over Kenny Minchie at Notre Dame. CJ Carr, a redshirt freshman. Again, it was a very tight battle with Minchie, and I actually saw a report, I believe it was a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that Minchie was believed to have the slight edge in the competition, and then the news broke earlier this week that CJ Carr had won the job, which I thought from the very beginning that CJ Carr would be the starter, but when I saw the news about Minchie having the edge, it made me rethink my original take, and now CJ Carr officially named the starting quarterback for the Irish. Marcus Freeman is going to want to take as much pressure off of him, considering that he is a true freshman starting at a very prestigious school. And how you take pressure off of him? You protect him in terms of offensive line play, which I am very high on and I believe will be a key unit at Notre Dame this year. The run game should be very good. Jeremiah Love, one of, if not the best, returning running back in college football. And he also has Jadarian Price in the room as well. And obviously, you want to play great defense so that you can get the ball back in the hands of the offense. So those are the three things that will be critical in order to take as much pressure off of CJ Carr as humanly possible. CJ Carr going to be drinking water from a fire hose, but he is going to be learning along the way. This is an interesting one right here. A guy that was in the quarterback room with CJ Carr at Notre Dame, who transferred out, Steve Angeli, who transferred to Syracuse, has officially been named the starting quarterback for the Orange. If you remember, Steve Angeli, he had the playoff appearance against Penn State in the Orange Bowl, and he had a really good drive that set up a scoring possession. Beat out LSU transfer Ricky Collins for the starting quarterback job at Syracuse. The good thing about Steve Angeli is he's not coming in with lack of experience. He has appeared in 21 games at Notre Dame. He started a bowl game versus Oregon State in the Sun Bowl in 2023. And now, this is another interesting storyline that we should be on the lookout for as a collective college football fan base. Steve Angeli, they and Syracuse, they take on Tennessee week one in Atlanta on August 30th. Joey Aguilar, who we talked about in the last show, has been named the starting quarterback at Tennessee. Steve Angeli versus Joey Aguilar, week one. Cannot wait. Should be a fun matchup. And also, not to mention, Syracuse, they play at Notre Dame on November 22nd. Steve Angeli returning to his old stomping grounds. This guy, I'm going to be completely honest, I'm going to butcher his name because, and honestly, you probably would too. So bear with me as we try to get through this one together. Jaron Kiawe Sagapalutele. I definitely butchered that. He has been named the starting quarterback at Cal. Let's just refer to him as JKS to keep it short and sweet. JKS, true freshman, former five-star recruit, actually signed with Oregon originally, but then he got to campus, realized how good Dante Moore is, and transferred out and ended up committing to Cal. He beat out Ohio State transfer Devin Brown for the starting quarterback job. I actually thought that Devin Brown was going to win the job, but they really liked what they saw out of JKS. Coach Justin Wilcox said that he's really impressed with fall camp with his accuracy, ability to throw the deep ball, and his coachability, and he's also shown really good leadership. This is a guy that reminds me a lot of what Tua Tagovailoa was in college. JKS is also from Hawaii and a lefty, so it just kind of makes sense. But this is a guy that is also going to have, there's not going to be as much pressure on him because he's at Cal compared to a guy like CJ Carr, who's at Notre Dame, considering where the two programs are respectively. No slight to the Calgarithm there, but if we're just being honest, if we're calling it spade a spade, they're two different programs. But he is a true freshman starting at quarterback, going to be drinking water from a fire hose. Moving on, Bear Bachmeier at BYU, he has now won the starting quarterback job at BYU, a true freshman quarterback, the first true freshman ever to start a game for BYU. He transferred from Stanford, and if you remember Stanford and their general manager, Andrew Luck, they fired Troy Taylor. Torrey Taylor was the punter at Iowa, who's now on the Chicago Bears. It is Troy Taylor. Troy Taylor was fired from Stanford. Bear Bachmeier was there, ended up transferring to BYU, was expected to be in the mix for the QB2 job behind former BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. And now the Jake Retzlaff situation went down where he violated the school's honor code. He is now at Tulane, and Bear Bachmeier has been named the starting quarterback at Brigham Young. What's really cool about this is his brother Tiger is a rotational receiver for the Cougars, so now we will see that connection, Bear throwing to Tiger. Really, really cool. And also on a side note, news that came out today, Malik Murphy, if you remember him, was at Texas, the backup quarterback to Quinn Ewers, was at Duke last year, the starting quarterback there. He has since transferred to Oregon State and was named the starter today. And also, UNLV head coach Dan Mullen, he said that they have a week zero game against Idaho State, which I will actually make a pick for later on in the show. He announced that Michigan transfer Alex Orji and Virginia transfer Anthony Calandria, they would split time during the Rebels week zero matchup against Idaho State. So some interesting news there. And also, this is not quarterback news. This is running back news. Out of Lubbock, Texas, Texas Tech running back Quentin Joyner found out that he is going to miss the season with a knee injury. This is a huge, huge blow for Texas Tech. He was expected to be running back one there after transferring from USC. He was injured during a scrimmage last Saturday. Again, like I said, he's supposed to be the expected to have a bulk load of carries this year. Here's the good news. Texas Tech feels good about the depth that they have in the running back room. That includes sophomores Jacoby Williams and Cameron Dickey. They combined for 81 carries for 461 yards and 3 scores last season. So it's just like I talked about with the Jam Miller news at Alabama. That provides opportunity. Now, obviously, you don't want to see anybody get injured, but it does provide other opportunities now for some of the other guys to really step up. And in this case at Texas Tech, the expectations are sky high this year, considering what all they did with their roster in terms of adding players from the portal. There is a lot of expectation, so there's going to be a little bit of pressure on those guys to step up, but they feel good about the depth that they have in the running back room. All right, we're going to go ahead and hit a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about this preseason All-America team that was announced. I have some thoughts on it. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Literally, as we were wrapping up that first segment, some more quarterback news broke. Missouri, according to head coach Eli Drinkwitz, will use 2 quarterbacks in its season opener against Central Arkansas next Thursday as the competition between Penn State transfer Bo Prabula and Sam Horn continues. So they're hoping after both of these quarterbacks get a large chunk of playing time that the battle will officially be over after week one. But who knows? If both quarterbacks perform pretty evenly, I could see this battle going into more early portions of the regular season. And also, Malachi Nelson, does that name ring a bell? Former number one overall recruit. I can't remember exactly what class. I believe it was the 2022 class. Spent some time at USC, spent some time at Boise State, now at UTEP. He was announced as the starting quarterback for the Miners for the 2025 season. Lots of intel, lots of quarterback news going around, as there should be this time of year. I mean, we are 1 week away from the actual start of the regular season. I also have some thoughts as the preseason All-American first and second teams were announced on ESPN earlier this week. Texas and Penn State both lead the way with 3 players selected for the All-America team that was announced actually on Monday of last week. So I have some thoughts. First team quarterback, shouldn't be much of a surprise, Cade Klubnik. He really started catching fire towards the middle of the regular season last year and throughout the end. It's really not a surprise there. Jeremiah Love at running back from Notre Dame, Nicholas Singleton, 4th-year running back out of Penn State. Here is a name that you need to familiarize yourself with. First-team tackle All-American Spencer Fano. Because a lot of people have forgotten about Utah, and I really don't understand why. Yes, they had a down year last year, but one thing that you should know about Kyle Whittingham, who is still there, by the way, still riding his motorcycle around Salt Lake City. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still the head coach at Utah. They had to elbow their way through the Pac-12. And now that they are in the Big 12, they were a team that a lot of people predicted to win the conference their first year at the beginning of last season. Now they go out and they get Devin Dampier, quarterback from New Mexico State. They go out and they get his offensive coordinator, Tim Beck. So they're implanting that system at Utah. And what's really getting talked about is Oklahoma, the John Mateer, Ben Arbuckle connection. But nobody's talking about Utah. And I really believe, did I say New Mexico State? I meant New Mexico. My apologies. But you get the point. They're implanting an entire offense into the system at Utah. And that is not being talked about enough. And Spencer Fano, who's projected to be a top 10 pick in next year's NFL draft, is a first-team All-American tackle that you need to familiarize yourself with. Caden Proctor, third-year offensive tackle out of Alabama, is on that list. Center Jake Slaughter from Florida. I think Florida can have one of the best starting offensive lines in the entire SEC. He leads the way at center. Guard from Penn State, whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce because I will butcher it. Armaj Reed Adams, a transfer guard at Texas A&M, six-year player. He's going to be really good. Tight end Eli Stowers for Vanderbilt. How about Vanderbilt getting some love on the first-team All-American list? The AP at that. Eli Stowers is one of the best tight ends in the country. Wide receivers, shouldn't be much of a surprise. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State. We've talked about him at nauseam. Ryan Williams, Alabama. Jordan Tyson from Arizona State. This is the name that I really cannot emphasize enough. Desmond Reed, fourth-year receiver out of Pittsburgh. He is the all-purpose first-team All-American. Desmond Reed reminds me a lot of Jordan Addison. Desmond Reed is one of the most electric players who's not talked about enough in the country. Desmond Reed from Pittsburgh, I promise you I will be doing you a favor if you research this guy and you keep an eye on him this season. Desmond Reed, Pittsburgh. All right, moving on to the first team defense. Edge, Dylan Stewart, that's not much of a surprise. Colin Simmons, Texas. Tackles, Peter Woods from Clemson. Zane Durant, Penn State. No argument for me there. Linebackers, Anthony Hill Jr. from Texas, who I believe, as it stands currently, is the best defensive player in the SEC. Whit Weeks, third-year linebacker out of LSU. He was featured heavily in the SEC documentary, which I recommend that you watch. He's a heavy feature, and it really makes you learn to love the guy more if you haven't already. Kyle Lewis, fourth-year player out of Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh getting two players on the first-team All-American list. Cornerbacks Leonard Moore from Notre Dame. Jermon McCoy from Tennessee. Jermon McCoy had an ACL injury in the spring, so he's kind of been working his way back from that. If he's able to be healthy for their week one opener against Syracuse, which I'm not sure if that's going to pan out that way, but Jermon McCoy is one of those guys that they got from Oregon State in the transfer portal before 2024, and he's done nothing but exceed expectations, and he's really uplifted that entire secondary room. Jermon McCoy, really, really great player. Safeties, Caleb Downs, Ohio State. Dylan Thieneman from Oregon, who's a transfer from Purdue. I think they nailed it with those two players. Defensive back, Michael Taff from Texas, who is one of my personal favorites on the list. Let's move to the second team offense. The second team quarterback is Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. I swear the AP voters must have copied my top 10 quarterbacks list that I did a while back, because I had Cade Klubnik at one and Garrett Nussmeier at two. Garrett Nussmeier comes in as the second team offense AP All-American. Running backs Mekhi Hughes from Oregon, transfer from Tulane. One of the most dynamic, versatile running backs that can step onto the scene this year. Isaac Brown from Louisville. He's a true freshman last year, and he's already making his presence felt. Louisville is going to have a very good run game this year, and a large, large reason for that is because of Isaac Brown. Got a large amount of play time as a true freshman, and he certainly made the most of it. Isaac Brown, second-team All-American. Tackles, Francis Mauigoa from Miami. Miami can have one of the sneaky best offensive lines in the country. They'll certainly be towards the top in the ACC. Blake Miller from Clemson. Guards Caden Green from Missouri, who draft scouts are just drooling over Caden Green. Keelan Rutledge, fourth year from Georgia Tech. Watch the trenches this year for Georgia Tech. You know that I predicted Georgia Tech to make the ACC championship game versus Clemson, and much of my belief comes from the fact that Georgia Tech is going to be good in the trenches. Center Parker Brailsford from Alabama, transfer from Washington, followed DeBoer to Alabama. Tight end, Max Clair from Ohio State, another transfer from Purdue. There are a lot of players that transferred out of Purdue that can really, really be impact players in the national spotlight. Max Clair is one of them. Dylan Thieneman, who is the first team safety at Oregon now. And here's another guy that's not on the list that you would want to familiarize yourself with. Deion Burks at Oklahoma. He transferred from Purdue 2 seasons ago. He was injured for a large majority of last season, but when he's healthy and he has John Mateer thrown to him, that is going to be one of the most dynamic duos in the country. Wide receivers, Antonio Williams from Clemson, Elijah Surratt, Indiana, Cam Coleman, Auburn. Cam Coleman was also a true freshman last year. Cam Coleman, he may not be the level of what Jeremiah Smith had as far as impact for a team as a true freshman, but Cam Coleman was pretty darn close, and it's not really a surprise that he's on the list. Elijah Surratt, leading receiver at Indiana last year in that pass-heavy offense. Antonio Williams, the wide receiver one in that Clemson wide receiver room. Clemson could have the best trio of wide receivers in the country if they live up to my personal expectations this season. All-purpose player Katron Allen, who is him and Nick Singleton are basically 1A, 1B, so you had to put both of them on this list. Let's move to the second team defense, TJ Parker, third-year edge out of Clemson, and Mateo Uiagalelei at Oregon. No argument from me. Clemson can have one of the best defensive lines in the country. So can Oregon. Tackles Tim Keenan from Alabama. I'm very high on what this Alabama defense can be in 2025. And they have players sprinkled throughout a lot of these lists. The SEC, preseason, all SEC teams, all of it. Christian Miller from Georgia. Linebackers Torian York from Texas A&M. Familiarize yourself with that name. Harold Perkins from LSU. Harold Perkins, yes, he is still around in Baton Rouge. You remember his true freshman season, the type of impact that he had on games? Sophomore year, got moved around on the defense, didn't have the same impact. Junior year was hurt, and now he's back for his senior season, and they actually have him playing star, the star position, which is kind of a mixture of safety slash linebacker, kind of a hybrid-like position. They're going to have him doing a lot in terms of coverage, rushing the passer, being relied upon to make tackles. I think this is a position where Harold Perkins can really thrive and shoot up draft boards. Because remember, this was a guy that was projected to be a high draft pick, but then the injury situation happened, the position switches slash lack of production happened, and people seem to forget about him, but he's still there. And I think he's going to have a major impact in 2025. Aiden Fisher, linebacker from Indiana. Indiana has an NFL player on all three levels of the defense, which was, we weren't talking a whole lot about their defense last year. It was critical, but we didn't talk about it. We talked more so about the offense. But I think the defense from Indiana can play very complementary to what their offense can be this year. Aiden Fisher is a second-team All-American linebacker in the preseason. Cornerbacks Chandler Rivers at Duke. D'Angelo Pons, Indiana, another Hoosier on the list. Safeties Coy Parrish. You remember that name, Minnesota? Talked about, we did that segment on, has Travis Hunter started a new wave or sparked a new wave of two-way players in college football? Coy Parrish, he's going to be playing both sides of the ball. Primarily, he'll be a safety, but he can also play a little bit of receiver as well. That's a name that you want to keep an eye out for. KJ Bolden at Georgia started as a true freshman in a Kirby Smart defensive scheme. Need I say more? Defensive back Jalen Kilgore, South Carolina. So I don't have a whole lot of qualms with this list, but I just wanted to point out some of the players that I think can be impactful in 2025. Some that you may not be as familiar with, but need to familiarize yourself as we are now 1 week away from the season. Time to lock it in. College football's back. Speaking of which, week 0 is upon us, and I want to make some predictions. We'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, listen up. We have games that actually count this weekend, week zero. Now, if you've been listening to this show, you know that week zero should not be viewed as the official start to the college football season. It should be viewed as the appetizer to the main course. Appetizer, nothing more, nothing less. But other than that, we have games that count, and it's a very exciting time. I know the headliner, Iowa State and Kansas State, Farmageddon, being played in Dublin, Ireland. I'm going to give an in-depth preview on both sides, first for Iowa State, then for Kansas State. And I'm also going to make my picks for the rest of week zero. So Iowa State comes in at number 22 in the first preseason AP poll. I had Iowa State unranked in my poll, but I could see them being a team that climbs up the rankings as the season goes along. Iowa State won 11 games last year. They were 11-3. Most wins in a single season in school history. First time they've ever won 11 games. The big thing for Iowa State is they return their quarterback, Rocco Becht. And I believe the Big 12 is very underrated in terms of quarterback play. I believe it's a headline that doesn't get enough attention, but the amount of quarterback, good quarterback play in the Big 12 is silly and should be talked about much more than it is, and part of that is because of Rocco Becht. And they also returned both of their running backs from last year, Carson Hansen, Abu Sama III. So anytime that you could pair good quarterback play with a solid run game, That's always a good thing. Now, here's the problem. Iowa State lost their top two receivers, both of which were 1,000-yard guys, lost Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins to the NFL draft. However, they went out and they're going to try to replace those guys. They did. They went to the transfer portal and got wide receiver Xavier Townsend from UCF and another receiver, Chase Soule, from East Carolina. Now, those guys may not have the same type of production that Higgins and Noel had. However, they believe internally that those guys can amount to the production that both of those guys had. Offensive line, they lost two starters, so they're going to be breaking in a couple of new guys. We'll have to see how that offensive line plays. That's going to be a key point of emphasis, especially if you're wanting to protect your star quarterback and be able to run the football at an effectively high level. Defensive line depth is a question mark for Iowa State. They went out and they got some guys from the portal and Vontre Malone from Tulane, defensive end Cannon Butler from Northern Iowa. They went out and they got a guy from Yale. So they bring in three defensive linemen from the portal in hopes of finding some more depth. But Malone and Butler, they look pretty ready to contribute right away. And the coaches are very excited about the guy they got from Yale. They're excited about his potential. So they very portal reliant on replacing their receivers, some pieces along the defensive line. I believe in Rocco Becht. I'm a big fan of Rocco Becht and what he is able to bring to the table. And I think this is going to be a very fun matchup versus Kansas State, who we are going to preview right now. They also have a really exciting quarterback in Avery Johnson, who is back for his second full season as a starter in Manhattan, the Little Apple. He has some help. As Dylan Edwards returns at running back, he was a transfer from Colorado before the start of last season. And after DJ Giddens departed, who was their number one tailback last year, Dylan Edwards assumes that full-time role. They returned wide receiver Jace Brown, who was a key pass catcher for them last year. And Chris Kleiman, who is the head coach at Kansas State, he wants to put more of an emphasis on the passing game. He wants to help Avery Johnson take that next step as a passer. So they go and they get a trio of receivers from the portal. Jerran Bradley from Boston College, Jerron Tibbs from Purdue, and Caleb Medford from New Mexico. So that's four receivers that you're hoping can help your quarterback, who, if we all remember, Will Howard, who won the national championship with Ohio State last year, was at Kansas State previous to that. They believed in Avery Johnson so much that that forced Will Howard to transfer out. So that shows you the amount of belief that they have in that guy. They also went out and they got a running back, Antonio Martin, from Southeast Louisiana. They got some pieces along the offensive line to help out Avery Johnson in his second full season as a starter. Now, they do have a new offensive coordinator in Matt Wells. So it's going to be interesting to see that chemistry between what Matt Wells wants to run and Avery Johnson. He's having to learn a new offense. So this will be, let's just say, the expectations for Kansas State this year are very high, because many have them highest odds to win the Big 12. And according to ESPN Bet, they are tied with Arizona State and Texas Tech at plus 550 in terms of winning the conference. So expectations for Kansas State this year are very, very high. Now, Iowa State, they have plus 1,100 odds, which ranks 7th in the Big 12, and that is all according to ESPN Bet. If we're looking at the over-under for this game, it is set at 49.5, and Kansas State currently has the edge at minus 3. I'm going to go against the spread, and I'm going to pick Iowa State to win this football game. I do think it is going to be very close, because Big 12 matchups, especially at this point in the season, I think that it is going to be a very entertaining game, and I don't see either team pulling away and winning this thing in blowout fashion. I think it is going to be very tight, but I personally am going to give the edge to Iowa State. I am very, very excited that we get Farmageddon in week 0. However, I will express my disappointment. I do wish this game was being played at the end of the season like it normally is. Farmageddon, I'm used to seeing this game played in a snowy Ames, Iowa, a snowy Manhattan, Kansas. And instead, we're getting it in Dublin, Ireland in week 0. But I am excited nonetheless. This game will be on ESPN, 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. Really looking forward to it. Okay, moving on. Fresno State at Kansas. And these are just going to be quick picks, because I know you don't care about an in-depth preview of Fresno State. I know you don't care about an in-depth preview for an Idaho State or a Sam Houston State. So I'm just going to kind of make these picks quick. Fresno State at Kansas. This should be no surprise, because I'm picking Kansas. Kansas, let me tell you something. In terms of winning the Big 12, Kansas is at plus 1,500 odds. So they're sitting at 8. They're right behind Iowa State. If Kansas gets a healthy season out of Jalen Daniels, who is their starting quarterback there, I can almost guarantee you that Kansas will win 8 or more games in 2025 if and only if Jalen Daniels is healthy, and he hasn't shown that ability to be healthy for an entire year yet. But if he is, watch out for Kansas. I think they're a sneaky good team if they get healthy quarterback play. So I have Kansas beating Fresno State at home. Idaho State and UNLV. I'm going UNLV. I believe UNLV is going to be a Group of Five contender. And if you are the best Group of Five team, you get a spot in the college football playoff. I've also seen UNLV referred to as the last chance U of college or of FBS Division I football. And I thought it was hilarious, because Dan Mullen, who's the head coach now, after serving some time as an analyst, after getting fired at the University of Florida, Dan Mullen is back in the coaching game. He is the head coach at UNLV. Alex Orji is their quarterback. transfer from Michigan. And they also, they actually have two quarterbacks, Anthony Calandria, transfer from Virginia. Both of them are going to get some playtime versus Idaho State. Alabama slash former TCU receiver JoJo Earl. Do you remember him? I'm sure you've heard that name before. They have a transfer defensive end from Florida slash Pitt and Chief Boards. Or I believe that's his name. Oregon slash Arizona transfer linebacker Justin Flo. If you remember, Justin Flo was a former five-star recruit. Georgia safety or former Georgia safety Jake Pope. So there are lots of former Power Four players that are now in Las Vegas for this season to be coached by Dan Mullen. They have 21 newcomers, either from the Big Ten or SEC, and four of those players played for Dan Mullen at Florida. So I think this is a very interesting case study, UNLV, this season. Like I said, I believe they're a legit Group of Five contender for the playoff. They were last year. And if they didn't lose that game to Boise State in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, they might have gone to the 12-team playoff. So I believe they'll be right back there this season, despite a new constructed roster, a new head coach. So I'm going with UNLV. Sam Houston State in Western Kentucky. Sam Houston finished second in Conference USA last season at 10-3. Western Kentucky was at 8-6. I'm giving the edge to Western Kentucky. They've been dominant in Conference USA, so I'm going to go Western Kentucky. Stanford at Hawaii. Although this game is not being played at 12:30 a.m. in the morning like we all would hope, and this game is at Hawaii, it's being played at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, which I don't even know what time it would be in Hawaii. It's probably like a 11 a.m. kickoff over there. Stanford is starting Oregon State transfer Ben Gulbranson at quarterback. Remember, their head coach is Frank Reich, who had several stints in the NFL. Andrew Luck, their general manager. This is going to be interesting because Stanford fired Troy Taylor, who was the head coach before Frank Reich. They lose a lot of their key pieces to the portal. Hawaii is actually favored in this game by 2.5. I'm going to lean Stanford on this, but not by much. So I'm going to pick Stanford to beat Hawaii. And that wraps up our week zero picks. Trust me, this segment that we do in the future will be much more interesting once we get this college football season off and running, I can guarantee, because we will not be picking games like Idaho State and UNLV. Yeah, we won't be picking Idaho State and UNLV. We'll be picking the big games, the games that you as a fan are looking forward to. That'll be a fun time. Can't wait. We're a week away from the official start. Okay, I have some thoughts on week zero. I actually had this discussion with one of my coworkers here at the game. I gotta address. We'll get to that next. You're listening to The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Final segment here on The Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, The Game. I have some thoughts on week zero. So I was filling in with Jake Lyman on Next Man Up here on 102.5, The Game. And we got into this conversation about how could you make week zero better? And it really started making me think. Because I really think the concept of week zero, if I'm just being honest with you, is kind of silly. Because ideally, in my perfect world, if I was college football commissioner, I would like to have the college football season officially start on the same day. Just one big slate of games, not a few games on this weekend, and then week one, then we have everybody kick off. I would just like for it to be one week, one weekend, and ideally it is around Labor Day weekend, because Labor Day weekend, to me, officially signifies, all right, we're getting rolling here with college football. And he brought up the idea of adding more games to week zero to make it more entertaining, because let's say you watch Iowa State and Kansas State at 11 a.m. Central Time, and that game ends. And then we have Idaho, UNLV, Fresno State, Kansas, Sam Houston, Western Kentucky, Stanford, Hawaii. To the casual fan, those aren't very appealing. And to be honest, they're really not appealing to a whole lot of people. I don't know how many people will be tuned into those. I'm sure there will be a healthy amount of you. I will be tuned in because I'm just so hungry for football. But if you're going to add more games to the week zero slate, you might as well just move the entire season up 1 week, which I'm sure has been discussed. And I've also heard this idea from Joel Klatt of Fox Sports about Army-Navy, the game that is usually 2 weeks after the regular season is over. It's usually the week after the conference championship games are played. He had this idea of moving the Army-Navy game to week zero in a standalone spot, no other games that day, because now with Army-Navy being played the way it is, it's being there are distractions because we're all getting ready for the college football playoff. That's getting ready to start. I believe the Heisman Trophy ceremony was the same day as Army-Navy. So there are a lot of distractions. And with the whole calendar confusion, it's no longer a standalone game. And Army-Navy is very special for obvious reasons. So Joel Klatt had this idea of moving Army-Navy up to week zero in a standalone spot. You don't schedule any other games that day. You just have Army-Navy, and that is the official start to the college, or that's the game that officially leads us in to the college football season. That's a better way of wording it. And to be honest, I don't really hate the idea, but the traditionalist in me, the loving how things were in the past part, that side of me still wants that Army-Navy game in its same spot, because there's nothing like watching that game being played in the cold, those two teams slugging it out. But that was the idea presented by him. And I don't think, you've heard me say this numerous times, week zero should not be viewed as the official start to the season. Yes, we get a few games, they actually count, but it is not the official start. Week one, that's Saturday, when we get most of the kickoffs. I know there are some games on Sunday. I know there's a game on Monday night. There's some games on Friday and Thursday. But it's that Saturday, that first Saturday of week one, to me, when officially everything is kicked off. And I cannot wait, because we'll be 1 weekend away from the official start of the college football season. The long, miserable, treacherous journey of going from the midway through February to now. We made it, guys. We made it. Football is right around the corner. We are here. I'm going to have another episode out for you tomorrow. A very special guest joining us. That is as specific as I'd like to get on that front. We have a lot of news to talk about. Yes, I did see that the SEC is moving to 9 official games. I would have talked about that in this show, but we got the breaking news as we finished up recording, so that'll have to wait one more day. And that's fine, because this guest is going to want to talk about that. And we have a lot to get to. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, the Game Nashville Sports Network. There you will get each and every episode of the Air Raid with Parker Kelly. And you'll also get access to all of our amazing podcasts that we're doing here at the game. You will not want to miss those. And please follow me on the socials at Parker_Kelly10. Lots of content will be dropped this fall, and you will not want to miss it. So make sure that you're subscribed for one, and you're following me on the socials. All right, I'll have another episode. I'll have that out tomorrow. Make sure to check that one out as well, in addition to this one. And we'll talk to you soon.